Could I ask you just to keep your Bible open, please, at that passage that Christina read for us in James chapter 4. Just before we come to consider God's word, we'll seek the Lord in prayer. Let us all pray, please. Our loving Heavenly Father, we continue on in thy most holy presence in our Saviour's name. We thank thee for the opportunity to read thy word. And we thank thee that this is thy revealed truth to us, that it is forever settled in heaven. We acknowledge that if this was not thy word, we would be wasting our time. But yet we thank thee that thy word is truth and that it abideth forever, even after the heaven and the earth has passed away. And so we come before thy word, and we come before thee with great reverence, and we pray that thy truth would abide in our hearts. We pray that by thy Holy Spirit thou wouldst take that which is thine own and apply it to each and every soul according to thy will. We pray for that fresh cleansing from sin. We ask for a fresh view of the Saviour that we love, and we pray that others would be drawn to him, for we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen. To have a true friend is a most precious thing. We are very familiar with the human concept of friendship. Those that we know well, those that we trust, those that we enjoy spending time with, they are our friends. And human friendship is capable of overcoming great prejudice and enduring in spite of great difficulties. Think of the Old Testament account of Jonathan and David. Jonathan was the friend of David. Even though David was the man who had been chosen to replace Jonathan's father Saul as king. And Jonathan's friendship with David endured, even when his father's envy led him to seek to take David's life. Friendships can be an evil influence as well as a good one. In Luke chapter 23, we read of the Lord Jesus Christ being brought before the Roman governor, Pilate. And Pilate, not wanting to make a decision about the Lord Jesus Christ, sent him to King Herod. Herod ruled over the area of Galilee that the Lord Jesus came from. And we read in Luke chapter 23 of how these two men, Herod and Pilate, who had been enemies, became friends over their rejection and their cruel treatment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friendships are so important that it could be said that the character of your friends reflects the character of your soul. This chapter 4 of James brings the topic of friendship before us. This letter was written to Christians with the purpose of showing to them how they could live out their Christian profession in a practical way. This fourth chapter, it brings before the reader how the desires of the heart affect the outward behavior. In verses 1 and 2, the believers are told that the arguments and the fighting among them is caused by the lust or the wrong desires of their heart. Verse 3 indicates that because the desires of the heart are wrong, these people do not receive the things that they desire of God. And as the argument builds, then verse 4 declares that these wrong desires, these sinful lusts after things that are against God, they constitute spiritual adultery toward God. This letter informs the believers that if they claim to love God, and yet in their hearts they desire those sinful things that God says are wrong, then they are betraying the one that they say they love. James, the inspired writer, has a reason for making that statement, which he then gives in verse 4. He says, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." He warns these Christians that they're behaving like unbelievers in the world. The world generally contains attitudes and morals and lifestyles that are totally against the truth of God. And therefore, the person who is in tune with the prevailing attitudes of this present evil world is a friend of the world and an enemy of God. And it is a most serious thing to be a friend of the world. And so I would ask you to think carefully for just a few moments as we consider this topic, friendship with the world. Friendship with the world. Notice first of all the reasons for it. The reasons for it. This verse says the friendship of the world is enmity with God. And one reason for this friendship with the world is the design of the devil. The design of the devil. The term world can have a variety of applications. But here in this letter, it refers to all that in human affairs is opposed to God and to his truth. And we can say that everything in this world that is against God is under the control and influence of the devil. This world is where he presently operates and uses his influence. It's significant that in the context of this statement about friendship with the world, in verse 4, we read on down in verse 7 that we are to resist the devil. Satan uses what is under his control for his own evil ends, and so he sets out to make the things of this world more enjoyable than the things of God. He promotes sin in all of its forms. He targets the inner life with the object of making self the object of all that you do. He wants to promote your opinions, your ideas, your own lusts and desires, because he knows that if you become consumed with such a spirit, then God is shut out of your life altogether. He aims to make material possessions, the pursuits and the activities of this life so enthralling that you become so taken up with them that what is spiritual and eternal and of God is completely forgotten. He aims to do this for believers, those who are truly the Lord's, because he wants to destroy your relationship with God. He wants to destroy your usefulness for God. And he can never fully succeed in bringing those who are the Lord's onto his side. But for those who do not know the Lord, you who have never been changed by the Lord's marvelous grace, the devil is able to make your friendship with the world full and complete. And he does so because he desires your destruction. He wants you to be living for self. He wants you to be living for sin. He wants you to be living for now, so that you completely ignore God and you rebel against him. And so this is one reason for this friendship with the world, the design of the devil. Another reason is the desires of your heart. The desires of your heart. The devil, he finds great assistance in making you a friend of the world from deep within your own soul. This passage makes clear that it is from deep within the heart that this friendship with the world comes from. The first three verses of James chapter 4 speak of lust, of the desire to have. Verse 5 speaks of that covetous spirit within that desires all kinds of pleasures and possessions. And even the Christian finds this covetous spirit seeking to gain control. And yet, because the Christian's heart has been changed, because God has put within the heart of the true believer a desire to love him and a desire to serve him, when the Christian gives in to these sinful desires, when the Christian begins to act like a friend of the world, he doesn't find it enjoyable, but it makes him miserable. But yet it is so different for the soul that is not saved, for the soul that has never been changed by the power of God. You remain with that nature that is fallen and that is in control of your being, and that nature desires the sins that are presented before you in this world. This takes us right back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. We read of them in Genesis chapter 3. A perfect man and a perfect woman in the perfect paradise of God, enjoying the beauty and the wonder of that tremendous place that God had given for them. And God had given that stipulation that they were not to eat of the tree in the midst of the garden. And yet we read in Genesis 3 of how Satan comes in and how he tempts Eve and how he tells her that God is holding things back from her. And if she ate of that tree, she could have a better and more fulfilling life. And we read of how she looked at the tree and how she desired the fruit of that tree. And she and her husband took of that tree. And that sin of Adam as the first man and the representative of all of his race, brought the whole humanity into a state of sin and misery. And that's why there's something in your heart that desires the sin that the devil brings before you. There's something in your heart that makes you think that by obeying God and his commandments, you'll be held back from enjoying life. You believe that you can get out into the world and you can engage in every sin that your heart will desire and that will bring you good, it will bring you happiness. And this, of course, is the lie of the devil. And yet you believe it to be true. And this desire itself is sin. Verse 4 of this chapter, it tells us, "Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." The very desire for the world itself is sin. Perhaps you're here and you've not yet had that opportunity to live your life your own way. You're still under the control of your parents, but you can't wait till you get free of that control and get out into the world and live your own life your own way. That desire that is within your soul, it is sin. It makes you the friend of the world. And because you're unsaved, unchanged by God, you can be the friend of the world and you will enjoy it to some degree while it lasts, for it fits in with what is in your heart. This friendship with the world, it is caused then by the design of the devil and by the desires of your heart. But as we think about friendship with the world, notice in the second place the consequences of it. The consequences of it. This verse, it tells us that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. One consequence of this friendship with the world is enmity with God. If you are the friend of the world today, then God is your enemy. This word enmity in the original language, it is said to be the opposite of love. And God is perfectly holy. And in his perfect holiness, he loves all that is good. And he hates all that is sinful. And therefore, those who are living in their sins and enjoying their sins, they are the enemies of God. And how serious this is. One of the things that the human heart desires more than anything else is approval. You desire the approval of your friends. You desire the approval of your family. You desire the approval of your neighbors and your employers. And you set out to please those people because you want their approval. And if you're a friend of the world tonight, you're seeking for the approval of this present evil world. And yet all the while that you seek the world's approval, you're without God's approval. You're his enemy. You're rebelling against him. You're breaking his law. You are resisting him. You are attacking him. You are rejecting him. And as his enemy, you have no claim upon him. No claim upon his goodness. No claim upon his kindness. As his enemy, you're without his protection and without his support. You are the enemy of God. And remember, it matters not what kind of friendship you have with the world. You could be in friendship with the respectable end of the world. You could be a regular church attender, a good neighbor, a good friend, those things that are fine in and of themselves, but yet still within your heart you're rejecting what God says about you being a sinner. Within your heart you are rejecting the need that the Bible brings before you to be born again. Within your heart you are desiring the sins of this world. And that is what you must understand today. If you have not surrendered heart, life, everything to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're still the friend of the world, the enemy of God. And because you are his enemy, you're under his condemnation, and his holy justice is pursuing you. One consequence of friendship with the world is enmity with God. And that leads to another: eternity in hell. Eternity in hell. This verse tells us that whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And God's enemies, if they stubbornly remain his enemies, will one day face his unbending justice. Your friendship with the world cannot shield you from that. The world may mock at God, but it cannot dethrone God. The world may laugh at God, but it cannot take from him the power to destroy both body and soul in hell. Friendship with the world may treat you in different ways in this life. For some people, being a friend of this world and pursuing the sins of this world leaves them with broken homes, with shattered bodies, with tormented minds. They discover even in this life that the world is not a true friend. But for others, it is different. Friendship with the world brings them respectability. It brings them social status. It brings them good employment. It brings them fulfilling interests. They enjoy their friendship with the world, and they do it respectably. And yet, the inner man is still corrupt and sinful and far away from God. They're still the enemies of God. And yet, regardless of how friendship with this world treats you in this life, it will only lead to one place in the life to come. Friendship with the world will take you to hell. One day you will meet your Creator. God has already appointed that day. The moment, the very hour that you will stand before God has already been prepared. And on that day, if you have lived all your life in this world as a friend of the world, then on that day when you stand before your Maker, you'll be counted as his enemy. And the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 32 and verse 41, of how God takes the glittering sword of his justice and he wields it against his enemies. The Lord Jesus spoke of how all would stand before him one day as the judge of all the earth. And those that were not his, he would say to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me." He said that they would go away into everlasting punishment. And the eternal torments of that awful place called hell that we cannot fully understand, they are the just reward of sin that offends the perfect holiness of God. Think of what the Lord Jesus said about that rich man in Luke chapter 16. He enjoyed his friendship with the world. He was wealthy. He ate well. He was well clothed. And yet when his life was over, we read that in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. It is a most serious thing to be the friend of the world. It makes you the enemy of God. And when you enter God's eternity, it will take you to hell. As we think about friendship with the world, we thought about the reasons for it and the consequences of it. But in the third and final place, we can think about the alternative to it. The alternative to it. The alternative to being in friendship with the world, with the terrible consequences that it brings, is to be the friend of God. James chapter 4 highlights that possibility for us. These believers are told that their sinful behavior is a betrayal of the one that they love, the God that has saved them. They are asked, "Know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" As believers, they had been brought into friendship with God, and they're reminded that their poor conduct is like unbelievers in the world. And yet there is hope for these Christians. Notice what is said in verse 6 of God. But he giveth more grace. But he giveth more grace. God in his grace and his mercy, he enables Christians to be his friends. He enables them to live differently in this life. And so we can say about the alternative to being a friend of the world that it is brought about by grace. Brought about by grace. Grace is God's undeserved kindness, his undeserved mercy to the sinner. And it was grace that sent the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, God the Son. It was grace that caused him to take our nature to himself, to live as a man in this life, to live that life of perfect obedience to God's law, and then at the age of 33 to lay down his life upon a cross, to shed that precious sinless blood, to pay the debt of sin, to clear the guilt of sin, to take all of the punishment of sin so that those for whom he died could become the friends of God. And this is God's mercy. This is love. This is grace at its greatest possible expanse. This world has nothing to compare with the grace of God. The Apostle Paul, he described it so wonderfully in Romans chapter 5 and verse 7. He said, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would be prepared to die." He said, in the greatest extremity, a man will lay down his life for what he considers to be a good cause or a good person. And yet he goes on in the next verse to compare that to the love of God. He says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And then he goes on in verse 10 to say, "When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son." The Lord Jesus Christ, he died. He shed his blood, not for the good, not for the deserving, not for those who were worthy of his love, but he laid down his life for his enemies, that they might become his friends. Remember what he said to his disciples. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." He says that's the greatest love that you can have for one another, that you lay down your life for your friend. And yet the Lord laid down his life for those who were rebels against him, those who were his enemies, that they might become his friends. That is the greatness of God's grace, the wonderful saving grace of our God that takes sinners on the road to hell. And by what Christ has done for them, he makes them his friends. It's brought about by grace, and it is experienced by faith. This marvelous grace that transforms the friends of the world into the friends of God, it's experienced by faith. Notice what is brought before these believers in verse 8 of this chapter. They are told, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." And how is it that believers can draw nigh to God? How is it that those who are not yet believers, those who desire to come to God, how is it that we can draw nigh to God? The answer is given in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. It says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him." It's experienced by faith. You cannot work your way into friendship with God. You cannot by your own willpower change your nature to make yourself no longer desire to be a friend of the world and desire the things of God. Friendship with God is a gift of God, and we receive it by faith. Note the example of Abraham in James chapter 2 and verse 23, where it says, "Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." By faith, Abraham became the friend of God. By faith, he received the forgiveness of his sins. By faith, he received a righteousness that was not his own. By faith, he was enabled to live a life that was different in this world, a life to God's glory. And tonight, if you would have done with your friendship with the world, tonight, if you would be the friend of God, then you must believe what God says. Believe Him when He tells you that you are a sinner in need of His forgiveness. Believe Him when He says that you must repent of sin, turn away from it, or else be punished for it forever in hell. Believe Him when He says that by trusting in Christ and what He has done for you in the cross, your sins can be forgiven. It is by faith that we become the friends of God. And when you receive Him thus, you discover that the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest of all friends, and that He is a most wonderful Savior. The Bible tells us that He is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, the one who never fails, the one who never leaves, the one who never forsakes, the one who never disappoints, the one who saves and keeps and holds you until that day that He receives you unto Himself in glory, there to be with Him forevermore. There is no friend like Him. And oh, to be able to say of Him in the words that we have in Scripture, "Yea, He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend." Is He your friend tonight? Is He really, truly your friend? Or is your religion just some sort of outward form, and within your heart still desiring the things of this world and the things of sin? If He's your friend, He will make a difference within. Oh, that He would be your friend tonight, that you would seek the Lord while He may be found, and that you would call upon Him while He is near. Amen.